here to talk about an effort to exchange data between states, and particularly between state registries that were independently developed, technologically very different, not the same vendor, two very separate systems. So first, a quick overview of where my talk is going to go. I'm going to talk a little bit about the problem that we face in New York City, New Jersey, New York State, give you a little background, and talk about a data sharing pilot project that we have recently started, and talk about where we're going in the future with this project. So this problem that we face, which I think many of you in the audience face, is that residents often get immunized in a neighboring state or a state far away, and the immunization is not reported to your, is not reported to the respective IIS. In other words, a patient from New Jersey comes to New York, gets immunized, and the immunization is in the New York registry. So that results in immunization records getting fragmented. And in New York City, we have three regional immunization information systems very close together: New Jersey, New York State, and New York City. And each of them today contain immunizations of patients living in other jurisdictions, other IIS jurisdictions. New Jersey and New York City are particularly close. And when we started this effort, each registry took a quick look at our database, and New Jersey found about 3,000 patient records in their IIS with New York State addresses. And in the city, we found over 46,000 patient records in our IIS with New Jersey addresses. And that's largely due to a lot of babies being born in New York City hospitals to people who live in New Jersey. So a little background on the respective IISs. For New York City, we've been operational since 1997. Our registry went on the web in 2002. We have had mandatory reporting of immunizations to our registry since 97. Actually, a few years ago, we expanded our age range from under 8 to under 19. We do get birth certificates loaded on a weekly basis. We have all the birth certificates of kids born in New York City since 1996. There are about 125,000 births annually in the city. We have about 1,800 immunizing facilities and offices. This is for childhood immunizations, patients under 19. Provider facilities can report in three ways: on a piece of paper, through a batch file from an EMR, an EHR, or a patient management billing kind of system, or they can go on the web and report their immunizations. We have over 3 million patient records and 33 million doses of vaccine. Zena gave you a quick a background on the New Jersey IIS. In comparison, they were operational since 1998 and web-enabled also in 2002. In New Jersey, reporting is not mandatory. They're populated also with electronic birth certificate records, about 115,000 births annually in the state of New Jersey, fairly close to the New York City cohort, roughly 1,500 immunizing facilities and offices, again, close to the scope of New York City. Their facilities can also be report by paper, electronic batch files, and on the web. They have 1.2 million patient records and about 12 million vaccine doses. In 2007, New Jersey, New York State, and New York City got together and formed a collaborative health data share project. And this was an outgrowth of HSPIC, which is not an acronym I'm very familiar with, but probably some of you in the audience will be familiar with it. I think it's Health Information Security, Privacy, and Confidentiality Project. And actually, the New Jersey people who were involved in HSPIC were the ones who spearheaded, reached out to us, to New York State, to form this data share project. And the meetings happened in Manhattan, seems to be a central location, so very easy for us to be involved. And the mission of this health data share project is to provide an open systems, industry standard, easily supportable architecture for sharing of health data held by the collaborative members, which are public health programs, agencies, with provider electronic health records for the purpose of improving patient care. So we've got a big goal and a long way to go, but We're getting there. These are some of the members of, or most of the members of the Health Data Share Project now. Obviously, the immunization folks from New York State, New Jersey State, and New York City are at the table. The Medicaid programs are at the table. so the HSPIC people are at the table. The scope, here are the kinds of databases and data that in our long-term vision we would like to be sharing. So you can see there's a lot of childhood health information that is held by these systems that we hope at one point in the near future to be sharing. So the partners decided that the pilot phase would be an exchange of immunization information between the New Jersey IIS and the New York City CIR. The New York State IIS covers the state outside of the city, but right now they're rolling out their registry, so they're sort of very busy doing that, so they want to participate later in 2009. Both New Jersey and New York City already contain data for patients crossing the border, so it made the case for starting here. And New York City, and I believe also New Jersey, have a great deal of experience with just basic flat batch file data exchange, mostly with managed care organizations. But we have a very low-tech way that we've been passing data for years, and we decided, let's just start here. So we started with New York City giving New Jersey the CIR's, giving access to our CIR secure website to upload a file, and they used New York City's flat file specifications. The New York City Registry received the file of records having any New York address in them, and the year of birth for those patients ranged, interestingly enough, from 1938 to 2007, although most of the records were for young children. And the New York City Registry matched that file against the CIR database. And the CIR, because this is a huge issue for us, duplication, we matched the file, we got some results, and then we spent a fair amount of time after that deduplicating. And then we returned our file to New Jersey with the patients that we found and the immunizations that we found. And then New Jersey processed that file and added missing immunization doses to their patient records. And similarly, CIR received a file from the New Jersey Immunization Registry with immunization data for New Jersey patients with a New York City address. So the results for New Jersey were that the New Jersey patient input file to New York City had about 3,000 records with a New York State address. Of those, 919 had a New York City address. So of those 919 with a New York City address, a little over half were found in the CIR database. And of those found, 98% had one or more immunizations in the CIR database. So in the end, a total of 7,000 immunization doses were returned from New York City to the New Jersey IIS. And 80% of those doses were added as new doses to the New Jersey IIS. A little over 1,400 were not added, 1,200 were already there, and a very small number, roughly, 217 did not match because the two IISs use two different code sets that don't match entirely. So the results for the city of New York were that New Jersey sent a file. They identified in their database 681 patients with a New York City address, and they sent us those patients. 211 were new and were added to the CIR database, and about 4,000 new immunization doses were added to our database. And up to date for those kids, for the 431331 series, for those 681 kids, did improve from 25% to 32%, so a significant increase. Still, you know, way too low, but nonetheless, we did get something significant out of this. So what are the barriers we face to going forward and expanding on this? We do have some legal challenges. New York City has been operating under the New York City Health Code, which is local health policy. And recently, the New York State Legislature passed a law. And now the city has to adhere to the state law. Even though we don't like doing that, we have to do it. And in some ways, it's better. In some ways, it's much better than the health code that we had that was enacted back in 1994. But one thing that this law does say currently that I think both New York State and New York City are trying to change is that there is data sharing allowed state to state, not city to state. So it was kind of, we think, an oversight in the way that the legislation was drafted. So right now, we, New York City, cannot pass data directly to New York, to New Jersey. It has to go through New York State to New Jersey. The second thing is the New York State law says that we have to have an interstate memorandum of understanding before data can be shared. Now, the New York City Health Code did not require an interstate memorandum of understanding. It was written in a different way. However, the New York State law allows us in New York City to identify patients in our database who have a New Jersey address and just give all those patients to New Jersey. The New York City Health Code wouldn't allow that. The New York City Health Code required that anyone who wants a record from the New York City IIS has to identify the patient to us. We would have to find the patient in the database, and then we would give the immunizations back to that requester. So we're actually glad that the New York State law allows this broader data sharing. And once we get this interstate MOU in place, we look forward to, you know, giving New Jersey those 46,000 patients that we have in our database with a New Jersey address. We do have some technical barriers. Even in this fairly low-tech world of exchanging flat files, there are still barriers. File format, New Jersey uses CPT vaccine codes mapped to CVX, CIR uses CVX. Some CVX codes, probably people know this, do not have a corresponding CPT code. In parentheses are some examples of those. And in this data exchange, New York City's kind of standard output file returned more data elements than New Jersey needed. So we're going to make some changes to the file formats that suit both sides. The conclusion is, however, that batch file data exchange is a feasible thing between very technologically different IISs and, we think, a good place to start in terms of data exchange, and that the interoperability challenges can be overcome to engage in regular bidirectional interstate data exchange. We think that what we've done is proof of concept. So next steps are that we want to agree on revising batch file specifications, automate this bidirectional data exchange at regular intervals, and finalize the interstate data sharing MOU. The lawyers at every level, New Jersey, New York State, New York City, are looking at it, revising this agreement, so we're hoping we're close to agreeing on that. Future directions are, I know that the HDS is looking for funding since they grew out of this HSPIC effort. As I understand it, there is funding available to be applied for that would promote multi-state data sharing. So the HDS partners want to recruit more states, and I think have already reached out to Philadelphia. And I think Connecticut came to a recent meeting, so we're hoping to expand within the region and beyond. New York City is in the process, we in New York City, our IIS is in the process of building a web service for real-time data exchange with provider electronic health records in New York City. And the HDS is interested in using that methodology to exchange data rather than the flat file data exchange. So our effort to build this web service is underway. Our partner is HLN, Noam Arts and his team. And we hope to be finished with that and have it be operational probably by the summer. And we will be using that web service to exchange data between the partners and the provider health record systems, hopefully in the near future. I want to acknowledge some of the folks who worked hard to make this pilot project happen. Bill O'Byrne from New Jersey EHIT, he's the lead person on this new, HDS, data sharing collaborative. Arnie Miller is a consultant who working very closely on this, Zena Klayman, my colleague from New Jersey. Michael Flynn is probably out there somewhere, my colleague from New York State. And two people from the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, my colleagues in New York City, Drs. Sheila Pilewski and Vicky Papaduka. And there's my contact information if anyone wants to get in touch with me about it. And thank you for the opportunity to share our work today.
Do we have any questions for either Amy or Zena on their presentations this morning? Please come to the microphone. Thank you.
I have a question for Zena. I noticed when you were talking about the early hearing screening coming into the information, coming into your IIS, sometimes that information was coming even before the child's discharge. So I'm wondering if you were running into any data quality issues due to the fact that your record from early hearing could come in actually even before a vital record, and how you address those kinds of challenges.
Even so, they do the early hearing screening before discharge. We receive this information at the point when we get the initial EBC record into the registry. This is number one. Number two, yes, we have a quality assurance issues with this because the child is discharged from the hospital, goes immediately to audiologist for retesting if there is any risk indicators problems there. And then the audiologist goes into the system, cannot find the child because we still didn't receive the EBC until like maybe in 2 weeks. So at that point, they do enter the child into the registry with retesting. If we can identify as already existing record during EBC load, we just add more information to the record from electronic birth certificate, like his initial screening and so forth. To have just the full record. If we cannot identify the child, we obviously create the duplicate. Early hearing detection program, Kathy Avini, she is a very meticulous person. She finds all those duplicates for us, and she sends the duplicate report, and we merge the records. We have ability in the register to merge manually records, and we merge both immunization, addresses, aliases, and early hearing detection information together into one record. Is that answered?
Any other questions? I have a quick question for Amy. Sorry.
That's all right.
Could you talk a little bit if there's anything that you learned from your data exchange with New Jersey that has informed what you will or will not do now with the future data exchange with New York State? Are there any particular lessons learned from this first experience that are going to reinform what you do next with the data exchange that you're planning with the state?
Okay. I guess what we're learning is that standards aren't necessarily standards, and there needs to be discussion and agreement on really the details, the fine-grained details, before the exchange can kind of be successful. And in the state, we've had a number of discussions about using this web service. I think that would be the ideal once that's in place. But we also will need to exchange data probably before that web service is operational. So we'll do it through flat files, or in our case, and I didn't say this, in New York City, we don't have the capacity to accept an HL7 batch file. So that's why we're not exchanging HL7 batch files. We have had in New York City since 1997 a basic flat file format that we have required all of our partners who send us data to use. And that's the file format that we used with New Jersey. New Jersey was graciously willing to go along with our flat file specs. And they, I think Zena can speak to this, but I think they had a fairly easy time creating the file and sending it to us. We did have a few issues, and we're working those out. So we in CIR, however, I think it fairly soon would need to build the capacity to accept an HL7 batch file. And mostly the reason we don't have it and haven't had it all these years is nobody's wanted to give it to us. Most of the data exchange in the city between providers, people just were not using HL7. It's too complicated and difficult from what I hear. I think that's changing. We're now working with electronic health records vendors who are used to using HL7. We're hopefully going to have a real-time web service that will be using HL7, but we probably can anticipate some people wanting to give us an HL7 batch file. So we're going to have to bite that bullet probably fairly soon. Let me say,
Well, on the HL7 subject, it is very hard to convince the vendors to use HL7. So we also started very slow. We started with flat files, XML files, and now moving to HL7 because we're receiving calls from some EMR saying, we've already done HL7 for one state. We can do it for you. So that comes on the plate, but they still... Once we introduced flat file format to the vendors, we got many more vendors to participate in the interface. And our decision was that to have data in the registry is more important than stick to the to the fact that they have to do it in HL7 format. So I think it's a process that will go for years before we will say, oh, we're all HL7 compliant. The working with New York was pretty fairly easy because we just took their file format, matched their children to our children, sent the musician. No, we actually extracted our children in the format that they provided to us. That part was very easy. The more difficult part was to parse their file into our registry when we had to take the information on immunizations from that file. And that file had way too many information that we need. So that's why we decide we have to simplify it before we can do the next exchange. That's the only thing.
I'll add. I think it's a goal that we all have is to increase this interstate data sharing. So I guess the one message I really want to get across is that it doesn't need to be sophisticated. It can be done with a flat file data exchange. So I know sometimes people feel like it has to be sophisticated, it has to be real time, it has to be HL7. But for those of us working in this world of IISs for many years now, let's just get the job done and we will move to more sophisticated methods as we go along. And you know, over the years we've all evolved. But it's really fine to be exchanging flat files. And I think there is more and more of a need to exchange the data across state lines. I mean, we have many providers in New York City that actually have offices in New Jersey and in New York City. And their patients move between these offices, and the records are fragmented. And more, there is a chorus rising from the doctors saying, let us get those records easily. You know, we really need to get access to immunization records for our patients across state lines. So this is something we all in the IIS world need to do in order to continue to encourage the providers to participate in our IISs. It's definitely a big selling point for them to give us the data if they feel like they're going to get value back. And one big thing that they're saying is we need access to across the border patient records.
Thank you. I want to thank both Amy and Zena for their excellent presentations this morning.